It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
And the Emmy goes to
Breaking Bad,
Mad Men,
Modern Family,
Feet,
The Crown.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Next Best Series podcast, where we take a break from talking about movies to talk about television. Part of the Next Best Picture podcast umbrella. I am your host, Matt Negley. The time of recording is 9:05 p.m. on April 24th, 2024. Here to join me for this episode, I have Giovanni Lago.
Hello, hello.
And Emma Sasek.
Hello.
Emma.
Matthew.
What have you been watching? You are so busy, I don't know when you have time to watch things.
I don't know either, but I somehow have managed to try to keep up with as much stuff as possible, thankfully.
We share this in common, I find.
Yes, in times when my brain is just oozing out of my head, it's usually TV time.
Seriously. Well, we are in that stage right now where we are starting to gear up for the real Emmy Awards season. The last time that we were here, we talked about contenders that had done pretty all right so far at the previous televised precursors. Some of those winners will carry over. Many others will not, such as Beef, Succession. Those are completely done at this point. But there are other shows like The Crown. Elizabeth Debicki cleaned up this precursor season. And The Bear also did really well. It'll be in contention too. But we just recently released our first batch of Emmy nomination predictions. They are up on nextbestpicture.com, where you can check them out right now. We are going to give some commentary on that. We're going to talk about what we've been watching, and we are going to answer some fan questions that we received for this episode. So why don't we first start off with what everyone has been watching? Giovanni, since the last time you were here on the show, I know that you have been trying to cram a lot in. I myself admitted I was failing miserably with television catch-up, and now I feel like I'm starting to get on track a little bit. I'm definitely putting a couple of shows under my belt here. But Emma, we'll start off with you, actually, because like I said, I feel like I never talked to you about television. I don't know what you've been watching. So girl, tell us, what have you been watching?
I know. I very rarely ever really share my thoughts on TV, but I'm going to start doing a little bit more of that because there have been some very cool shows coming out. Also, way too many shows coming out at the same time, which makes it makes you constantly feel like you're so far behind on everything. But I've been trying to give everything at least a bit of a chance. But so I have like two categories of things I'm watching: those that I have definitely gotten super into and I've watched several episodes of, and those where I'm just starting the journey with them with maybe like an episode or two. But among those that I have really kept up with, as I'm sure we'll all talk about, Baby Reindeer. I have been binging that the last few days, and I just thought that I was in for like a funny, quirky little show, but it takes you on so many different turns, many of them very dark and very traumatic. But I think all of that somehow blends so well on this show. And I just genuinely have been enjoying it for the few episodes that I've seen already so far. The actor Richard Gadd, I mean, he's brilliant on from an acting standpoint, but also writing standpoint too. The fact that this all really did happen to him is quite terrifying when you, I guess, realize that part of it too. And then his lovely, but also very equally terrifying co-star, Jessica Gunning, is just crazy brilliant on the show too. So I've definitely been enjoying that one. I've seen a couple of episodes of Ripley, and I I'm still a little bit on the fence about that show. I think it looks pretty great. I like the black and white cinematography. I've been enjoying the acting, but there's just something about it where, I don't know, I don't really like the editing of the show so much. And I think that there are a lot of random shots, like way too many random shots in each episode, that kind of makes me like roll my eyes and be like, just give me the one straightforward angle. I don't need like 15 different angles of one scene or one sequence to be showing constantly over and over again. So that's kind of been getting a little bit on my nerves, but I will do anything for Andrew Scott. I know that a few more episodes have come out about from this show already, but Under the Bridge with Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone really enticed me right away with the first two episodes. And especially where the second episode ended off as it relates to a mystery surrounding a young girl in this town. I was just really transfixed by the mood and the moodiness that is set in this film, and just kind of how everybody's a little shady and suspicious, and I don't really know what to make of them. I've been really enjoying that so far. So probably after we finish recording this episode, I'll probably watch the next two episodes, or however many are out right now. And then some other shows that I have seen at least one episode of include Mary and George, which stars Julianne Moore and Nicholas G. I don't really know what his last name is, but it's kind of giving me The Favorite vibes, very much a historical drama, but very messy. And I do always enjoy that subgenre of historical dramas. I watched the first episode of Fallout, and that one also intrigued me. I never played the video game, so I didn't really know anything going into the show, but I have been enjoying the lead actress, who was also on Yellow Jackets for some time, and I thought that she was a very cool badass heroine so far. And then I fell off a little bit with shows like One Day and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but I'm sure that I will eventually get back into them once I have some breathing room and free time in my life after a very crazy and tumultuous month that I have had. But yeah, that's more or less what I've seen. I try to have had like a good mixture of things to go watch and put on in the background.
So a couple of things here. Mary and George. His name is Nicholas Gillitzine, and he's also in this movie with Anne Hathaway called The Idea of You.
Yes.
I think this guy, I feel like he's already blowing up, just not in the circles that I'm a part of, because I'm looking at his filmography and he's been in Cinderella, and he's also been in Red, White, and Royal Blue. So I imagine he's probably very popular with a younger crowd, is my guess. But I do think that that he has an aura about him, especially after seeing him in The Idea of You, that I can see his career is like probably really starting to really take off in a major way right now.
Yeah, he's one of the younger Hollywood men who, along with like Jacob Elordi, for example, I feel like is really getting more and more out there and getting more roles.
Right. Now with Under the Bridge, I have not had a chance to watch this quite yet. How does it compare to something like Mare of Easttown or True Detective?
I guess it would probably, I think that there are definitely similarities with that. I think that there is more of an aura of mystery with this one compared to those others. I do have to admit, I have only seen the first season of True Detective, so I don't know what the rest of the iterations of it have been like. But yeah, there's just something, it was just really striking to me where I couldn't immediately like put my finger on everybody in this town nor the situation itself. And it does a really good job of misdirecting you within those first two episodes. So I think that's what really hooked me into it. And I mean, of course, Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. I'm happily watching anything with the two of them in it.
Now, maybe a better comparison then would be the other FX Hulu show that came out, I believe it was 2 years ago, Under the Banner of Heaven with Andrew Garfield.
I never
terrific show.
I never had a chance to watch that one, but I did hear really good things about it.
That was a great show. But I don't know how that show did not land with the Emmys that year. Besides like Andrew Garfield, because like Isabel Sandoval deserved a directing nomination for that show, and Daisy Edgar Jones was great. Sam Worthington probably gives like his career best performance.
I agree.
That show, he is terrifying in that show. Wyatt Russell's great. Really wish that one was given a lot more love by the Television Academy.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, I guess, put my finger on like what kind of a show Under the Bridge is. Essentially, I'm going to watch it no matter what. I've been hearing such great things about it, but yeah, just trying to find that comparison out there for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it would. I guess kind of like a Mayor of Easttown, but no dialect or no accent work necessarily.
Gotcha. All right, Gio, what about you? I know you've been watching too much.
Yeah, it's starting to catch up to the mental, you know.
To all of our listeners of the Next Best Picture podcast, we know you love movies. We do too. Do you like going to the theater? Well, Regal Unlimited just makes sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just 2 visits. See any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you won't just save money on tickets, you'll also save on snacks. Members get 10% off on all non-alcoholic concession items. So if you're planning to see 2 movies this month, just 2, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. That's regmovies.com/limited. And you can tell them Next Best Picture sent you with the promo code /RegalNBP24. That's /RegalNBP24.
Last night, Shogun came to an end.
It did. Yes. I got caught up in time for it.
Yes, I'm very happy. You actually got caught up before I did, because I was just so busy with other stuff that I spent like the past weekend watching 7 through 9, where everything starts ramping up. And no spoilers, but I know it follows the book pretty accurately, but as someone who doesn't read the book, and I think the show has gotten such apt comparisons to Game of Thrones of scale, and I think it does do that. But the finale, if you go in with that mindset, really subverts that idea, and it's really understated and incredibly poignant. And the way it looks on how sorrow and regret and all these ambitions collide with one each other, and like the anticipation for war is not always the greatest thing. And I saw some people complain, well, why didn't the show like the giant battle? Why didn't this happen? Why didn't they do something extravagant? And I feel like if you're really hampering on that, you didn't really get the series. Especially there's a beautiful sequence on the cliffside with the Hironuki Sanada. And I'm forgetting the actor's name who plays Yoshibe, who, by the way, probably the best performance in the show. That's my hot take. I think the guy who plays Yoshibe is the best. Every mannerism, every grunt, every time he's reacting with, the Anjin, it's fantastic. I think
I'm going to counter you on this really quick, because I think the best performance on the show is Anna Sawai as
she's my number
Mariko
2.
Same. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Episode 9's a showcase. Yeah, the episode 9 when she has that grand moment.
The whole episode from top to bottom, not just even a single moment, like the whole thing is her showcase, and I was so mesmerized. I've been mesmerized by her throughout the entire series, but when she got that episode, it was like, oh my god. And I think that this is a true breakout moment for her in particular, because she only has 2 film credits. Her television credits are also a little slim, but she has recently been in Pachinko, Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, and now this. I think she's going to blow up as a result of her work on this show.
I can see an Emmy nomination coming her way and really giving a boost to her rise as a star, and more than deserved, because Anna Sawai is brilliant in that show. And by the way, the actor who plays is Tadanobu Asano, who is fantastic. And he's just been in a bunch of these actors, like Kiranuki Sanada, just been in so many great things. And just now they're getting their time to shine. And I think that's just the cherry on top of what is probably will be one of my favorite shows of the year.
And just so you know, too, the actor's name is Tadanobu Asano. And he was in Martin Scorsese's Silence.
Yes. And he's fantastic in Silence.
Yeah, I thought he, too, gave a great performance in the show, too. And especially in the finale, like you said, that cliffside scene that he has with Hiroyuki Sanada. The writing is really well done.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It's beautifully filmed. And I got to admit, Gio, you're making a really good point here just in terms of audience expectation. There was a lot of buildup and anticipation to some sort of a giant spectacle episode of some sort. And the show never delivers on that, but I agree with your assessment that if you're disappointed by that or the show's ruined for you for that, then I don't think I agree with you. I don't think that you got what the show was offering in the first place. And this is actually what I liked about it in the end.
Yes.
Was I liked that it was more about these characters and how, I don't want to give too much away here, but let's just say Torunaga is playing a pretty long game here, you know? And I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, and it comes at a cost. Like, you know, there's characters in the show like Torunaga's son who is like, yeah, let's go to war, let's fight. And he's just throughout the whole time, he's like, you don't get what this means. Like, you don't get what comes as the cost of just going headfirst into this. Like, and you see that Torunaga, I'm avoiding spoilers, by the end, he is playing this long game and he does fully open up about his true intentions. But it's not like those true intentions came easy. They came at some of like the greatest cost for him. But it's beautiful work. And Cosmo Jarvis also, the finale is like his best episode as well. It's all around fantastic television.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the best thing I've seen this year, but it's definitely up there for sure.
And I know what you think is the best thing you've seen this year. Because Matt, for you and this podcast, I put in the work. I sat down and I watched all of Baby Reindeer.
Oh, you did? Oh my God.
Yes,
I didn't realize
I did.
That you, I didn't, I, when did you find the time?
I started last night and I watched it like 4 a.m. and then I had today off and I finished the rest this morning.
I was told by somebody I trust, they said to me, drop everything you're doing. I don't care what you have to go watch. I don't care what screening you have, like drop everything. Go home and watch Baby Reindeer on Netflix. And I was like, what? And sure enough, I took the advice. I watched it in less than 4 hours, all in one sitting. And oh my God, I agree, Gio. It's the best thing I've seen this year.
The emotional roller coaster that you so both have had in like a less than 24 hour time spans.
I was so sad about Shogun ending and how like it's this incredibly somber and like ruminative reflection of everything that's happened. And then you go to Baby Reindeer and it's the most jarring and very provoking and painful watch, especially, you know, with the artist Richard Gadd and his story and like turning trauma into art like that, I think is just bold and something I could never do. So like kudos to him. I thought it was really good. I don't know if I will say it's the best thing I've seen this year. I think it's really good. I really enjoyed it. I think the performances are great. It's briskly. I love the editing in the show. I'm not always the biggest person for like narration, but the narration's done really well. And it breezes by. Like the episodes aren't long. It's only 7 episodes. Like I do recommend everyone go check it out. I do think it probably will be also another one of the best of in terms of TV in 2024.
Emma, which episode are you up to?
I just finished episode 4 last night.
Ooh,
oh,
man.
Excuse me. Either 4 or 5. I think I'm about to start episode 5. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, it is certainly one of the more unique and, as Gio just said, bold stories and series that I've seen in a long time. I think the last one that really got me super excited and the one that I was like, wow, I haven't seen something like this before was Severance. So it's been a while for me where I had like a, ooh, I'm super excited about something. Although maybe excited is the wrong word for the show as it continues to go down a very dark path.
Well, I will say this, and Gio, I don't mean to like step on you with what you've been watching, but as we're talking about Baby Reindeer here, I'll say this. excited is not the right word. I agree. But at the same time, what I'm seeing as a result of this show is I am seeing a lot of positivity come out from it, because people are seeing what Richard Gadd did, not just through this show, but also through the play that the show is based on. He did a one-man play of this at first that is adapted into this series. And then also, too, just a simple act, or maybe not so simple for some people, but just the act of talking about your trauma, your shame, and the regret that you carry along with you, as opposed to holding it in. It's something that I feel, and I've seen on message boards, people are more willingly coming forward and expressing their experiences as a result of watching this show and recognizing the healing power that that can have. And, you know, there's also been a dark side to this show, too, because there is a kind of sort of true crime element of, we need to find the real life versions of these people who caused Richard this pain. And that gets into a whole messy situation with the dark corners of the internet. And in a way, I almost feel like it's almost proving one element of this show's point with regards to just obsession and stalking. And, you know, it gets a little nutty for some people out there on the internet, you know? But Richard,
fantastic,
man. I don't know if I will see a performance this year that is this raw and honest and so brave. I don't like using that word, and I don't like using that word because I feel like it gets overused, but this is truly a brave performance, what he has done by putting it all out there on the line. And like you said, Emma, you're not done with it yet, but like when you see what he does, especially in the final two episodes, like just wait.
Yeah.
The penultimate episode for real is the one that's like, wow.
It's like the ultimate therapy session.
Wow. Well, something that I have also appreciated with this show, that I feel like it has allowed people to have very good conversations about it in terms of the trauma, and also probably better understanding, you know, what may happen in situations, not just the stalking, but some of the other themes that are used in the in the episode. And I hope that that maybe helps open people's eyes to just being kinder to people and better understanding just how harmful certain moments in your life can be and how much they change everything in an instant. And I mean, I had a really good conversation with my boyfriend last night after watching the fourth episode, because there was, you know, some things that he maybe didn't understand because he has not gone through a situation, but I could kind of open up to him a little bit about my experience, which thankfully I can say it was not like Richard's. However, there are some elements to it that I think, you know, unfortunately ring true, not just for myself, but for many other people too. So I think it serves as a really good stepping point to really open up those dialogues.
Yeah, I think also too, there is this recognition I'm noticing, not just in terms of what happens to Richard, but how he responds to it. And I've seen people watch the show and angrily get frustrated over Richard's decision making and why he does things the way that he does them. And, you know, oh, I would never do that if I was him and I was in that situation, that sort of thing. But then there are people who are able to relate, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, to what he's gone through. And they say, no, this all makes perfect sense. What he's doing and how he's processing it and how he's dealing with it, or not dealing with it in some cases, that's how it is. And I think that recognition is what's allowing the show to really reach out to people.
Yeah, I think, you know, also it's hard to always put yourself in another person's shoes. Like, every individual is different. Every individual reacts differently. And you are watching his story, and no one could probably tell his story better than himself, you know? So I think that's the most honest reaction towards it. And I also, you know, this show, not really comparable to a degree, but I feel people will compare a lot to I May Destroy You.
Yeah, I could see that.
Of Pass You Michaela Cole's story, which is a semi-truthful telling of a similar situation that happened to her and how she ended up turning that into that series. And I think both are such beautifully made series, very different too, in terms of their styles, the way they deliver their humor and heart and the different types of performances. This show is terrifying to watch. There's the episodes 4, like you mentioned, it's some of the toughest shit I've seen all year, where it's like, this is not an easy thing. And for some people who are very, you know, if you need a trigger warning or watching, the show gives it to you. And I do want to let you know that it's not the easiest show to watch, but I do think everyone a part of Baby Reindeer truly made something special.
Yeah, I've been recommending it to everyone, but with the caveat of, you know, like, this is some heavy stuff. Be prepared. But my God, in terms of writing, directing, acting, the way that the show is just structured in terms of its editing, it reminded me a lot of the energy of something like Trainspotting, where it just moves and it has like such a kinetic vibe to it. But then the moments where it needs to hit you with some real life heavy shit, it really slows down. And those moments, like the ones you think of in Trainspotting, they linger and they stay with you. And then it's like you kind of go back to that hyperkinetic style and oof, we're just rushed right back into it again. Yeah, I didn't mean to hijack your spot here, Gio. I just needed to really keep.
No, you're all good. The praise it's great. That's what we're this. Here for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, it's clearly one of the more popular new releases in television. And who knows what will happen in the coming award season. But like the way this show is building an organic word of mouth. Like I had a coworker I was talking to about it. He's like, yeah. And he mentioned our manager. He's like, yeah, he mentioned Baby Reindeer. And I was just like, yeah, that's how you know, like this show is spreading like a wildfire when you have like coworkers or just random people you don't really talk to about TV like that. Or just like, oh, have you seen Baby Reindeer? That's how you know that this is genuinely something that is catching everyone's eye.
Hey everyone, sorry to interrupt, but this is a preview of our 41st episode of the Next Best Series podcast, part of the Next Best Picture podcast umbrella. If you want to get the full over hour long episode, you will have to head on over to Next Best Picture's Patreon, where for $1 minimum a month, you'll get the rest of this episode and other exclusive podcast content from us as well. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts to let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you all so much for listening, as always, and we will see you all next time.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.